Hello and welcome to another episode of Corporate Buzz. I'm your host, Kirtana Tiwari, and as always, I have Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief, Prince Thomas, with me to take us through the corporate news of the week. Hi, Prince. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kirtana. Thanks.
Prince, let's begin with the one of the important news that we got this week, Indigo layoff.
Sure.
The CEO of the airline said that 10% of the workforce would be laid off. By any chance, is this the latest airline to announce job losses?
Actually, in India, Kitna, no airline has formally announced the job loss, you know, and that's why Indigo's announcement was very surprising.
Okay.
But industry observers, they also welcome the company's announcement because many other airlines in the country, they may not have announced a formal layoff, but they have sent a lot of their employees on leave without pay.
Mm-hmm.
So this includes Go Air, and you would have read the recent news on Air India also, where the company is talking about sending people on leave without pay for 5 years.
Right.
So now the debate now is what is fair, to send lay off a person or send the person on leave without pay. Because as much as leave without pay is not formally a job loss, but then for that long you are without a pay and you are unsure when your company is going to call you back for work. So you're not getting any salary. Whereas on the layoff, if you're laid off, one, you're getting a financial package, and Indigo actually has, layoff is not, it's very tough, but Indigo has at least announced a fair package for those employees who are laid off. So if you're laid off, you at least get a package and you know for sure that you can start looking for other opportunities. So the debate has started in the industry because of this. But yes, this is very significant because if Indigo, which has almost 8,000 crore in its, as free cash in its reserves, if it is forced to lay off 10% of its employees, which will almost amount to about 2,500 people, then it's a very serious, surely a serious indicator of how serious the problem is in the aviation sector.
Right. But also, don't you think the announcement is coming a little too late? Because there could be a chance that things are in a recovery path right now. And, now there is also talk of international airlines probably coming back. I understand that it's unsure, but we are still closer to the end, right?
Not really, because through these weeks, we have seen commentary both in India and overseas in terms of the aviation sector.
Mm-hmm.
You are right. I mean, most airlines in India, domestic flights have resumed. Internationally also we have seen, apart from Air India, now other airlines have also started the so-called repatriation flights. Even international airlines have started, in a very small way, started flights out of India and to India. But then we are long way from normalcy, or even, getting to the pre-COVID level is long way off. In fact, Indigo CEO has said that, this FY Indigo may not even make a profit, and that's a very startling outlook for a CEO to give for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Indigo is in such a state, then the other airlines are surely in a worse situation. And that is because, so now airlines in India can fly up to 45% of their capacity, or their schedule. But right now they are operating only at about 30%, and that is because not just that corporate travel has almost gone zilch, because all of the corporate guys are now, one, they have limited travel because of safety, health issues. Second, all of them have shifted to equivalent of Zoom and Microsoft Meet. And then there's so much of regulation and lockdown guidelines in each state. In some place you have quarantine for 7, in some place 14, and some place you need to undergo COVID-19 test. So all this puts off travel. So, and as long as we don't have a vaccine, we don't have a credible medication that really we can say for sure will heal COVID-19, this uncertainty, lockdown, restrictions will continue. And as long as they continue, traffic will be low. So no commentary in aviation right now talks about a recovery before next year, before early next year. So we are a long way from recovery.
Right. While we're still talking about the aviation sector, after more than a year into insolvency, Jet Airways has finally landed two bids this week.
Yeah.
But also, there is also a point that this has come after the deadline has elapsed. So can you tell us about these two companies and how significant their bids are?
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is the only good news that you would have heard of in the aviation sector.
Right.
That Jet Airways has got two bids. I mean, it's not past the deadline. The deadline was again extended.
Okay.
And the 21st was the last day for submission of bids and I think some of the resolution plans also. So, four consortiums or four suitors were shortlisted by the resolution professionals.
Okay.
And out of that, two have submitted this. And like you said, you know, the resolution process started in June last year. And till now, not even one company had or investor had submitted a bid. So now finally you have two bids. One consortium consists of, you know, it includes a financial services firm called Imperial Capital. And two firms led by Sanjay Mandavia, who is actually a former Jet Airways pilot who turned into an entrepreneur. He runs a training institute in out of Gurgaon and Hyderabad, and he also has a private charter service. So that is one consortium. And the second is a consortium which includes Calrock Capital, which is a London-based financial services company, and an entrepreneur who is an unknown entity, Murari Lal Jalan. So, very little is known about him, and we don't know how, you know, while the consortium claims that it has enough aviation experience and it will be bringing in more experts from the aviation field, they are, of the two consortium firms, they are lesser known. In the first one, at least because of Sanjay Mandavia, we know that he is a known person because he was a pilot, he runs a training institute, so he is well known in the industry. So these are the two people. Now their resolution for plans and the bids will be examined by the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, we don't know, maybe they will be asked to give more information, especially on the financing part, because Jet Airways, as you know, owes about 8,000 crore to banks. On top of that, there are additional claims of over 30,000 crore. So, we don't know how much of money power either of the two consortium have. And this part, the financial part, will be very crucial. So, there is no way that any of them would really promise to pay all the loans, clear all the loans of the bank. So, banks will have to take a haircut. Some people are saying that the banks may have to take a haircut of as high as 95%. So,
right.
So will banks be willing to go that distance? We really don't know. But mm-hmm. I think there has to be a lot of, give and take from both the sides. Finally, a new owner to come for Jet Airways.
But provided these consortiums work out for Jet Airways,
mm-hmm.
What kind of a timeline will it take to get it back on the runway?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because these times are not really very conducive to start or restart an airline.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Jet Airways, one, its license to operate is current, but it has, because it has suspended. So that has to be renewed again.
Okay.
And second, I think it has a fleet. It has, I'm not exactly sure of the exact number, about I think 10 to 17 aircraft it still has. And then at the same time, while these have to be, you have to see how good the condition they are in, the aircraft, but you also need airport slots, then you need flying rights. And remember, all these slots in the airports were distributed by the government to all the other airlines.
Right.
So Jet Airways needs some part of that back. And it also depends what the new owner wants to do with Jet. You know, will it start small or immediately want to go back to the scale that Jet Airways had? That is unlikely. But would it want to operate only in the metros or go into the smaller cities? Will it want to start operating overseas? So many questions are there. On top of that, how much of human capital that Jet Airways has, and you know, many of them have left Jet Airways, remains. So that is very important. How many pilots are remaining? How many cabin crew, ground staff, engineers? So all these are big question marks, and these will take a lot of time. So it's very hard to guess if a new owner comes, how much time is going to take to restart Jet. But anyone would want to restart it as soon as possible because they need to generate cash. And that will only come when they start taking bookings. So so hopefully if a new owner comes in by this year, we should see Jet Airways flying again.
Yeah, that will be very interesting to see after almost a year into insolvency.
That's right.
Moving on to the next story, Prince. We have heard an announcement from Rakesh Sharma, the executive director of Bajaj Auto.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the demand for two-wheelers has reached almost 95% in the first 10 days of July.
That's right.
Compared to last year. Is this true, and how come there's such a huge demand?
Yeah, so I think it's a very positive, one of the green shoots that, we have seen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bajaj is one of the top, two-wheeler sellers in India, and it also is the biggest exporter out of India. But I think the commentary on the Indian market is more important. And it's not just Bajaj, even Hero, and I think even Aisha, all of them have said that, one, inquiries have come back. They're almost close to 80-90% of the pre-COVID levels. Mm-hmm. Bookings are also looking good. And they're even saying that the inventories are running low now. So now the other challenge for them is to ramp up production, which is not easy. For instance, in Bajaj's case, we've seen its plant in Aurangabad. It reported COVID positive cases. So there would be restrictions there. I think many of the companies are still facing a shortage of labor. So how much of ramp up of production can they do, and will they be able to meet demand as it improves? Because like you said, Bajaj said 95%, it's back to 95% in July, and they're saying it will keep improving in August. So it's very interesting. It's a very good thing to have because if bikes are selling, that means that all the other sectors which supply to auto, including steel companies which supply steel to all these companies, they will also start doing business. So it's a very good indication, and also indication that people are buying, which actually is also, gets to the other next discussion point. One, Bajaj has said that they are seeing better demand in the rural areas than in the metros.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign that in metros, many of the cities, still the lockdown rules are there. So not all dealers have opened. And also probably the salary cuts, job losses have been lower in smaller places, and in the rural area anyways, completely dependent on agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
I think in many cases we've seen that the rural part of the business is doing better. Like you would have seen that the tractors sales have done really well. So a lot of learning from this development on Bajaj.
Prince, what about the sale of four-wheelers? What is the demand looking like there?
So there also there has been an improvement. I think all companies have said that queries and bookings have improved. And many of these companies, you remember, have also gone online in terms of their sales pitch and also seeking bookings, and they promised the customers that they themselves will deliver the cars to their doorsteps. Now, there also improvement is there, and specifically we've seen that small cars, most of the first-time buyers were moving from small cars to so-called compact SUVs or straightaway buying SUVs.
Right.
But now we are seeing small cars are making a comeback. And the main reason here is that more people want mobility and want to be lesser dependent on public transport.
Okay.
Because of the hygiene requirements, social distancing requirements. So more and more people want to buy bikes, they want to buy small cars if they don't really already have a car. And we also seen, apart from small cars, an improving demand for SUVs. So, which is also very heartening, because one would have thought that people will go slow on buying SUVs, but it may not be exactly the case. So it's a lot of interesting trends happening. The overall picture is that things are improving. Some of it could have been the pent-up demand that was there for 2-3 months. So the crucial would be, I think, how the, you know, July and August, what the trends would be in July and August, because by then the pent-up demand would have been over. If we'll have to see what is the fresh demand that is getting generated.
Right. Moving on to the next story, Prince. Hindustan Unilever has reported a 7% increase in profit compared to the previous quarter.
Yeah.
Was this result already expected because it's from the FMCG sector?
No, I mean, I think it has done better than all estimates, Hindustan Unilever. I think no one expected it to make, a 7.2% growth in its profit. While everyone knew that, you know, FMCG products were consumed well, but at the same time, there were supply disruptions, there were lockdown, you know, trucks were not flying, not able to cross borders. So there was that disruption happening. So there was a question mark. But then the results have shown that some of the segments have done exceptionally well. Some of the product segments. And Hindustan Unilever results are important because it is the largest FMCG company in India. It also probably has the largest network across cities and villages. It has presence among kirana, supermarkets. So looking at HUL, you get an understanding of what the consumption was during the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other company that has done well in the quarter one result?
So as we speak, I think ITC results will be out. I think we'll be waiting for that, and we'll have to wait for what the commentary is going to be from the likes of Marico and Emami and Dabur. So we would know. You know, the interesting thing is the kind of consumption pattern that you're seeing from Hindustan Unilever's results, you know, because biscuits did very well. All the cleaning products did very well. Even the Kisan brand that HUL has, and you have sauces and jams, and even the coffee brand Brew under Kisan, all of them did very well. On the other hand, you know, ice creams didn't do well, even though we were at the peak of summer. Yeah, some of the skincare products didn't do well. So I think anything that has to do with packaged foods and was linked to basic necessity, all that did very well. Anything related to hygiene did very well. But anything that was more discretionary spend, that didn't do well. So it's interesting to see looking at all the trends that are happening. So let's see what is the kind of commentary we get from the others.
Sure. Thank you so much for all these details, Prince.
Welcome, Kisna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Corporate Buzz. If you have any other queries or suggestions, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Mindset Store. Thank you for listening.